right. Thank you, ladies. Great is thy faithfulness. Let me mention, throughout the year, Brother Travis has to work. His work schedule has been changed. And it's affecting Dan Murphy as well. So you won't see much of Brother Travis. He's working night shift. And so don't think he's just laying at home sipping tea, all right? But he'll be working at the nuclear plant a night shift. And so Brother Travis won't be here as much. I know he feels bad about that, but he works full-time there and part-time for us working with the youth. So just know that he'll be busy, but in different ways. And I know that he didn't really, wasn't excited about the shift, but you got to do what you got to do, right? So, and Brother Dan's working that. I think you got two outages coming up at the power plant this year as well. So just pray for these fellows that work at the nuclear plant, because we need electricity and they need strength. Proverbs chapter number 20, if you'd look there with me. Proverbs chapter number 20. Read again verses 1 through 7 there. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim, everyone, his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. This morning I want to talk about found faithful. Found faithful. As I've looked and contemplated different thoughts in the approaching of the new year, just the thought of faithfulness has just been on my heart and mind, and I believe the Lord's leading me to preach different things from the Scripture concerning that aspect of faithfulness. But as we begin the new year, I think we ought to start it out with the big overall general goal being found faithful. Sometimes we set goals that are unattainable and we get discouraged. We set specific goals that for some reason we're not able to meet and we get discouraged. I think as a general goal, to be found faithful is quite doable. It doesn't take great intelligence. It doesn't take money. It just takes you with determination to be faithful. And so we want to talk about that this morning. Most men, verse 6, will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can found. I want to be found faithful. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word to look at this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit would challenge our hearts and lives. We want to approach your word, leaning upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help us understand it and apply it. So, Father, we ask for your guidance this morning. Though, Lord, it's not going to be a salvation message, I pray that if someone here does not know for sure he or she would go to heaven when they die, I pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would challenge them to get that all-important matter settled. I pray that you'd bless our time together, bring honor and glory to your name, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs is a wonderful book. We spent quite some time, a year and a half, just recently on Wednesday nights going through the book of Proverbs verse by verse. And there's so many, it's so rich. When you read through it, I remember when I first got saved, my brother Fred, who's a missionary in Italy, had encouraged me to read through a chapter of Proverbs every day, because there's 31 chapters, so a chapter every day. And I did that for quite a while, and it was very beneficial. But anyway, Proverbs is made, given to make the wise man, or the simple man wise, the young man, to have wisdom even beyond his years. We don't have to experience to have wisdom. It does help us apply wisdom. But we can look, we have the benefit of being able to look at the Word of God and glean wisdom. And this passage of Scripture certainly points out wisdom. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. One of the things that I think really hurts Christian living is the renewed promotion of alcohol. It hinders Christian living, and I'd like to see God's people be faithful to hold the line on against that. Amen? I think it'd be very beneficial. This passage of Scripture says that wine is a mocker. It causes mocking of God's righteousness, and strong drink is raging, or it inflames people. The little guy that's 5'7" becomes 6'8", you know, and it inflames. And then it says, whosoever is deceived thereby. The word deceived means to be drawn away or led astray by it. So the modern contemporary thinking, it's all right for Christians to drink. There's going to be a lot of people led astray by that. If I don't have alcohol in my home, I'm reducing the chances of producing an alcoholic astronomically. I mentioned recently, I grew up with a couple young boys that they had abundant alcohol in their house, and both of them became alcoholics. And you know, it's just a tragic thing to see. For wisdom, you know what? Be faithful this year and hold the line on some things. Amen? Just hold the line. And the Bible says in verse number 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Let's forget about excuses why we can't do what we ought to do this year. All right? A little cold, a little difficult. Let's just do what we ought to do and watch God bless that. The sluggard won't plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he's going to beg in harvest and have nothing. We'd like to see a harvest for the Lord. So let's plow, even though it might seem a little chilly. Get a cold response, give the gospel anyway. Now let's get some tracts out. We'll keep the tract box back there full, and let's get some gospel tracts, and don't get cold feet with it. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore he'll beg in harvest. Verse 5 is an interesting verse as well. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I heard a phrase years ago that's kind of been a little bit of a guide toward me as it comes to giving people advice. And the phrase was, unsought advice is seldom heeded and usually resented. I'll give my advice from the pulpit and preach. I'm not going to intrude in people's lives. If they come to me and ask me for advice, I'll be glad to give it to them from the Scripture. The pastor's not the controller in chief. He's a pastor, a shepherd. And people ought to come and get some wisdom from the Word of God from time to time, get some advice. But notice, counsel's like deep water. It doesn't bubble out. You got to go and take the ladle or the bucket and reach down in and get some wisdom. And people that want to know guidance in life and how the Bible can apply to certain situations are wise to seek counsel, biblical counsel. And verse number 7, jumping over 6 there momentarily, verse number 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Somebody had asked me a question about something in Genesis yesterday or the day before by text, and one of the things I mentioned in answer to it was that the situation there illustrates how that our lives today can impact generations to come. And so you determine to be faithful for the Lord this year, and your children will be blessed after you. You're producing a blessing for people around you just by determining to be what you ought to be for the Lord in 2019. And I hope that you're starting this year with a renewed determination. You know, one songwriter said, only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. That ought to be our thought. This year, I'm going to do what I need to do for the Lord faithfully. Now let's go to verse number 6, text verse for this morning. Most men, and we know most men, will proclaim everyone his own goodness. You know, sometimes we get a little tired about hearing from other people how good they are, right? And you know, if you want to know how great a man is at work, ask him, right? He'll tell you. And most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. We like people to know what we've done and what we've done well. And, you know, God, when he made the creation, he stopped and looked at it, and behold, it was very good, right? And so it's not wrong for somebody to look at what they've done and say, you know what, I want you to check out the job that I did. And most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But then, a faithful man, who can find? A faithful man who can find. God is looking for faithful people. God is looking for people to be faithful. Proverbs 13:7 says, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health." Proverbs 14:5 says, "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. The word faithful here is interesting because in the other two verses I read, it's the same word as well. It's used in Isaiah 26 where it says, "Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." Same word as the word that's used here, faithful. The word faithful here has the idea of being true, trusty, trustworthy. To where one can depend or rely upon that individual. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Don't tell me how many good things we do. But how faithful, how trustworthy, how dependable are you? Someone said one of the greatest abilities is availability. The second is dependability. Are you available to do what God wants you to do? Are you dependable to do what God wants you to do? To be found faithful, a faithful man who can find. To be found faithful is much more than to be full of faith, though that's part of it. Some will define the word faithful just by its word, by the word itself, full of faith. And certainly that is important. Being full of faith is a good starting point to become faithful. The realm of Christian living is all based on the foundation of faith. Faith being the deep-seated conviction and the soul based upon what we've heard in the Word of God. And let me just distinguish something. Faith is not positive thinking. Okay. I think I can. I just know. That's not faith. Faith is a deep-seated conviction in the soul based upon what we've heard in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith has a foundation. Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith in the scripture, tells us about all these things people did by faith. Not something they conjured up. What God guided them and told them to do, they did. It was by faith. God said it. They believed it. They did it. That's faith. And so when we talk about living by faith, we're not talking about living by the seat of, flying by the seat of our pants and something we think is going to work out. When we talk about living by faith, we're talking about founding what we do and what we think and what we believe on the credible, reliable, steadfast source, the Word of God. And so to be faithful, first of all, we've got to be full of faith, or we have to fill our lives with the Word of God, giving us some substantive foundation upon which we can then become faithful. One will not be faithful without being full of faith. So then there's the sense of trust being committed to a person. A faithful person is a person unto whom something that's valuable can be entrusted, and that person will take care of that trust in a trustworthy way. Faithful. It's the idea of truth, trust, trusty, trustworthy. And so something being entrusted or committed to a person then comes with it the sense of what one does with that trust. You may have been given something valuable because you were thought to be trustworthy, but then you squandered it or you didn't use it carefully. And a faithful person is one who has the foundation of faith. He's acting upon God's word and he seems trustworthy, but then it follows through with action in the way that he takes care of what is entrusted to him. That is faithful. The idea of being trustworthy with the trust he's been left finds one to be faithful. Faithful is more than just being present and accounted for. Though that's wonderful. That's part of it, right? People that aren't present and accounted for aren't going to be very faithful. But faithful is more than just being present and accounted for. Faithful has to do with being consistent, to believe, and to act upon one's belief, being where one needs to be, when one needs to be there, and doing what one needs to do. Can I run that by you again? All right. Faithful has to do with being consistent, to believe, and act upon one's belief, being where one needs to be, when he needs to be there, and doing what one needs to do. Every man will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, being consistent to believe and act upon one's belief, being where one needs to be and what one needs, when one needs to be there and doing what needs to be done, but a faithful man, who can find? Well, let me say, God's looking for faithful people right in this room. Right in this room this morning. Now let's change direction just for a moment. It's important to understand, I'm glad the ladies sang the song they sang this morning. It's important to understand that the God we serve is faithful. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant, promises that he makes with people, he keeps his part of the bargain. That keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." God's a faithful God. A faithful God. What do you mean God's faithful? Well, that is his quality. That's who God is. God is faithful to himself. Someone said, "Can God make a rock so big he can't move it?" Don't be stupid. God is faithful to himself. He's not going to do something that's ridiculous. He's infinitely knowledgeable. God's faithful to himself. He's faithful to his word. If God said it, if God said he would do it, God will do it. He promised a Savior when man sinned. And lo and behold, we just celebrated again, 2,000 years after it happened, the birth of Jesus Christ. He did it. He came. Jesus is coming again. God's faithful to his word. Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus will come back. He's faithful to his word. And his promises. Every promise that God has given, he will always be faithful to it. He's faithful to his promises, to his word, to himself. He's not going to alter himself. The God that Jacob made a promise to at Bethel is the same God that's with us here today. God's faithful to his people. If you've asked the Lord to be your Savior, you're his people. You belong to him. And he is faithful to his people. I shared with someone on the phone yesterday going through distressing circumstance that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And it's not conditional. He's faithful to his people. He's faithful to his creation. We still have water, amen? We still have oxygen. He's faithful to his creation. And the temperature is not skyrocketing. Amen. In fact, how many are chilly in here this morning? Okay, thank you. Keeps you awake, right? No. I'm sorry if you are. He's faithful to his creation. Takes care of the birds. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He's faithful to his creation. All that God ever was, he ever will be. All that God is, he always has been. All that God will be is the same as he always was. God said, I am the Lord, am. That is present, continual. That's who I am. Always. God said, I am the Lord. And in case you wondered of the permanence of that quality, he said, I change not. I am the Lord. I change not. Faithfulness is a quality of the holy God that we serve. God is the faithful God. Faithful to you. Faithful to me. Then, anyone who has come to know the Lord has come to know him as he ever is, the faithful God. I don't know a different Jesus than Paul met on the road to Damascus. I don't know a different Jesus than Mary held in her arms. This same Jesus. If you've come to trust the Lord as your Savior, you have trusted the one who is faithful. And he was faithful to save you when you called, just as he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved and know it today, it's not because God is unfaithful. If you're not sure you're saved, it's because you haven't believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God and you haven't trusted him. Don't tell me you're not saved because God didn't predestine you to be saved. That's just hogwash teaching. Amen. He will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible says. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. What further proof need we? If you're not saved, it's not because God doesn't want to save you. He's faithful. It's because you have not come to him. Jesus said that in John chapter 3. You will not come to me. If you're saved, he was faithful to save you when he called. I remember when I first asked, when I did ask the Lord to be my Savior. And it took me a little while to grab a hold of that concept that when I asked him to save me, he did. Because he's faithful to Jim Whitman, and he's faithful to you. And by the way, if you've sinned, I shouldn't say if. If you have sinned after you got saved, now let's have a joint confessional here this morning, okay? You've asked the Lord to be Savior, to be your Savior, but how many can say, Pastor, after I've asked the Lord to be Savior, I know I've done at least one thing wrong. Would you raise your hand? A bunch of sinners. We'll have an altar call in just a minute. See, now there's no excuse. The altar should be full. If you have sinned after you got saved and confessed your sin unto him, you have experienced forgiveness because he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. He forgives us because he's faithful. When we've been unfaithful, he remains faithful. If you've taken your burdens to the Lord, we all have burdens. If you've taken your burdens to the Lord, you have found or will find him faithful to help you. As the great high priest, seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. And the word boldly means with clarity, with plainness. Lord, here's my problem. Here's the way I come to you. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's the faithful high priest that will help you with every problem you have. He's the faithful God. Now, as we grow in grace, the Holy Spirit is then conforming us to the image of his son. Who's his son? Jesus. Say it.
Jesus
Christ, right? And the Bible says, as he's conforming to his son, who is who? Jesus Christ. As he's conforming us to his son, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So, if he is conforming me to his son, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, that conforming process will then cause me to become more faithful, more like Jesus, more the same like God. As we grow in grace, the Holy Spirit is conforming us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday and today and forever. The quality of God's faithfulness is being worked into and then out from you and me, his children. A faithful man, who can find? God's looking for faithful men and women, faithful people that have come to trust him, the faithful God, and are letting him, the faithful God, conform them to his image, which in part is that of faithfulness. Speaking of the complete superiority of Jesus Christ to the Old Testament law, to the Old Testament priesthood, to the Old Testament sacrifices, speaking of his complete superiority to all of that, the following statement is made. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Take mental knowledge of him. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses is mentioned as being faithful in all his house. That meant that Moses was faithful with the stewardship that God entrusted to him. And Jesus was faithful with the stewardship entrusted to him as the Son of the Father coming to seek and to save that which was lost. Folks, if Jesus wasn't completely faithful in all that was entrusted to him, we have no Savior. We have no salvation. But he was faithful. He was faithful. In presenting the Son of God as the one to whom we should listen, which is what Hebrews does, it's mentioned to us, he was faithful. Faithful. In fact, this quality of faithfulness is a priority ingredient that God is looking for and expecting from us. We excuse unfaithfulness. We let circumstances cause us to excuse unfaithfulness. We let emotions cause us to excuse unfaithfulness. But God is looking for and expecting faithfulness from us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A faithful man, who can be found? It is required in stewards. God has given us stewardships. He's given to each person different responsibilities. He's entrusted things to us, and it's required that we're found faithful. Faithfulness is a requirement of God for His people to whom He has entrusted truth. He's entrusted the gospel message. He's entrusted the aspect of our light shining to point other people to Him. And God expects, requires faithfulness. God's looking for faithful people to entrust the faithfulness of His riches. We're stewards of the household of God's truth and how we need to be careful to handle His word faithfully. Have you ever given something to someone that's valuable and they're carrying it for you and you say to them, be what? Careful. God in heaven looks down at us and He says, I've entrusted you great truth. Be careful with it. We need to be faithful to share the word of God. Jeremiah 23, 28 says, He that hath my word, let him speak my word. Can you guess what the next word is? Faithfully. Faithfully. One important aspect of the translation issue, and I'm going to be talking about that in our adult Sunday school, a little plug there for my adult Sunday school class. But one important aspect of the translation issue people need to be more concerned with, it's not about easy readability. It's about having an accurate translation from the correct source, which we believe the KJV is accurate and certainly from the correct source. Jeremiah says, He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. The next verse says, Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Faithfulness is a divine prerequisite for service assignments. I remember when I was in the military and we had to guard the ammo dump when I was in basic training. And boy, they really give you the riot act. You know, they scare you to death. You're afraid if you look the wrong direction one time, you're going to be hung, right? They really scare you. I found out after basic training, there was nothing in those places. We were guarding empty places. That was ridiculous. But it was the principle that mattered. They wanted us to learn to be faithful to an assignment regardless of what we thought of that assignment. Regardless of what we thought an outcome could be. Faithful to an assignment. And, you know, sometimes people, they hyper-question God. God, why are you doing this in my life? All this happened? Lord, I'm just struggling so much, God. God says, I've required you to be faithful. You let me handle the details. Amen? The Bible says that God works all things together for what? Good. To them who what? Love the Lord. To them who are the called according to His purpose. So be faithful. You ain't going to work it out together for good. God will. God will. Faithfulness is a divine prerequisite for a service assignment. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to, what's the next word? Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's an interesting verse, and it's kind of been a hallmark for my thinking of people being increasingly involved in different areas. God gave special instruction that when we entrust spiritual responsibility unto others, they're to be entrusted to faithful men. People who are faithful already. People who are doing what they ought to do, when and where they ought to do, are setting themselves up to do something else for the Lord. Responsibility is to be entrusted, according to the Scripture, to those who have demonstrated first that they're faithful. Paul writes to Timothy, as Timothy is establishing order in the churches on behalf of the Apostle Paul for the Lord. He says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Notice the chain of responsibility there and accountability. Those things that you've heard of me among many, the same things commit thou to other people that are faithful. You've heard me talk about how that our generation needs to be like the relay race. And we are to be taking the baton that came from our fathers, that came from their fathers, that came from their fathers. We're supposed to be taking that same baton. You know the relay race. They run, and another guy runs up beside, and they grab, and they pass on the same thing, and if you drop it, you lose. Anyway, so you know, they don't stop and say, "Oh, you know, there's some things about this baton I should tweak for this day. Let's see, I would kind of like to paint a few stripes on it. And you know what? It's a little too shiny. I'm going to dull it down a little bit. Shine is out. So we've got to dine," you know. They don't do that. They don't even contemplate. They take that baton, hold on to it with the other person, and clutch it with all their might as they run as fast as they can to the next person to whom they carefully hand it. And when that person gets it, that person runs. Folks, that is what the apostle writes to Timothy. The things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same pass on to others who are faithful so that they can teach others also. See the requisite there? Faithfulness. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. God gives us that special instruction. People are doing what they ought to do, and when and where they ought to do it. That's being faithful. Responsibility is to be entrusted to those who've demonstrated they're responsible. Those who want to be involved in service need to pay the price of faithfulness, and then will be entrusted with more riches over which to become stewards. The Apostle Paul wrote also, he said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me," what's the next word? "Faithful, putting me into the ministry." Paul said, "God looked at me and counted me faithful." You know, Paul was on the backside of the desert after he got saved. He was taught of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he launched into ministry. And God said, "He counted me faithful. And he's entrusted something to me." Paul said that. So we come back to our original verse there. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Let's look at it. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness." It's not so bad if you share what you've done, but what we say we are isn't necessarily what God is looking for. God's not impressed with our testimony about ourselves. But a faithful man, who can find? God is looking for faithful people. God, the faithful God, wants to entrust his faithful word to faithful people so that others can come to place their faith in the Son of God as their Savior. I'd have to ask the question, at the end of 2019, will you be found faithful? I've got to read a little verse here. You remember Daniel? How many of you remember Daniel? Raise your hand. You've never met him. How can you remember? Anyway, you remember the story of Daniel. Listen to this. They wanted to destroy Daniel. He had been elevated because of his character in Babylon as a Jewish eunuch serving the realm of Babylon. And they were envious and jealous of him. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. That's an amazing statement. They checked everything he did and found it impeccable. Not many of us could proclaim our goodness in that, could we? But they found him faithful. Will we be found faithful? We'll be careful with the trust that's been left us and realize it's from God and we're accountable to him and we're responsible to make sure we do with what he's given us, what he wants us to, where we are, when we're there, faithfully. God's not looking for natural talent. He doesn't need our natural talent. God's not looking for high self-esteemed people who think they're wonderful. He's not looking for intellectual genius. You know that because I'm here. He's looking to use people who are faithful to him. Faithful to his word. Faithful to the responsibility that he gives us. Faithful to the truth of God's word and faithful to the responsibilities connected with his will. Faithful to the expectations of his way in our lives. Faithful. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Jesus said, the Bible giving this illustration, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And all it takes is for us, on the foundation of faith, to be what we ought to be, where we ought to be, when we ought to be there, and do it consistently. Every person in this room in 2019 can be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone. Songwriter said this, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey. With power and sound mind, with love the unfailing kind, oh, be not ashamed of his way. No man that seeketh after things of this life is a soldier who passes the test. Be faithful, be working, be running, be serving, be searching his word for his best. Living or dying, may honor be thine from this wretched life you loved and forgave, a life that is on fire. Be only our heart's desire, be faithful from now to the grave. And then the chorus says, may the Lord find us faithful. May his word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful every day, though we live, though we die. Every man will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? God's looking for it. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. I pray that you'd use it in our lives today and this year, that we'd be found faithful. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to come into this world and live a perfect life for us. We've sinned and come short. Thank you that he was faithful to go to the cross of Calvary and bear our sin and shame and pay sin's penalty. It would have been hell for eternity for us. Thank you that he was faithful. And Lord, he was faithful to lay down his life and take it up again and raise from the dead that we could have eternal life. Thank you that Jesus is faithful. And thank you that you're faithful to save whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never personally invited Jesus Christ into his or her heart as their Savior, may they realize that Jesus loves them and would save them, and he'd be faithful to save them for all eternity today if they'd turn. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. And first I will ask Christians, you know you're saved, you've asked the Lord to be your Savior and trying to live for him. How many would say, Pastor, by the grace of God, knowing it's expected of me, God's looking for it, I'm setting as a goal in my spiritual walk to be found faithful throughout 2019. Would you slip up your hand, please? Would you slip it up, please? Thank you. You can put your hand down. I would say, Pastor, there's some things in my life that really I'm not being found faithful right now. And I need to make some adjustments in my life for the Lord. But thank God he's faithful to forgive, and I'm going to claim it. And then live for him and be found faithful. Who'd slip up their hand this morning? God bless you. Amen. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful thing with God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think, and faithful to cleanse and forgive when we turn things over to him. And then we can be found faithful. I wonder who else this morning say, Preacher, you know there's some things I ought to do as a Christian I'm not doing. And God expects faithfulness from me. So by his grace and strength, I'm going to make an adjustment in my life that I'd be found more faithful to him this year. Who'd slip up their hand? I got to make some adjustments. Amen. 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 Whether it's Bible reading, prayer, giving, consistent Christian walk, I'm going to make an adjustment to be found faithful. And then, if you're here today and you've never personally received Christ as your Savior, you can never be as faithful as you ought to be to gain an entrance to heaven. That's why Jesus died. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but God sent his Son to die in your place. He was faithful to do that. Because he did that, God offers you a free gift of eternal life. He'd be faithful to give it to you if you'd ask him by faith to save you today. If you're here today and you don't know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, won't you make today the starting point? I'm going to call on Christ and be saved, and then I'm going to set out to live for him faithfully after he saves me. Who'd slip up their hand? No one else is looking. Say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to make certain of that. Anybody? I won't come to you. Anybody would say, Preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I'd like to have that settled in my life. In just a minute, we're going to stand together. When we do, maybe God's spoken to your heart about something specific. I'd encourage you to come and pray about it. Slip back to your seat and have a renewed determination to be found faithful. So we stand together, please. Father, bless this invitation, I pray. Help us to let go and let you have your way in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You come if you...